Wednesday afternoon Shir Yom Hey L'Chodesh Nisan, ladies Shir and Chavis Halvav Shari Yichud Hamaisa. We're up to Parakei. We're starting Parakei. Okay. So we have a mezuzah. Okay, I said I enjoy it, I get out of it. Okay, so I'm not going to start till 12:15, but we'll do the warm-ups now. That always takes time. So we're starting Perakei, Bezos Hashem, and in Perak Dalid of Shari Yichud HaMaisa, we're learning Chavis Halvav Shari Yichud HaMaisa. And in Perek Dalid, the Chavis Halvav has listed three things that spoil the ability to develop Yichud HaMaisa, single-minded, wholehearted devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is not to have some sort of concept of Hashem and the chesed he imparts to people. That's number one. We didn't start yet. This is all the introduction. This is all the introduction. So number one was not to have a concept of Hashem. Number two was knowledge of what Hashem indeed wants us to do. So then you do things and you're not sure you're supposed to do them, and you don't focus on doing it l'shem Hashem if you're not really sure if this is what you should be doing or not. And number three was the good old Yetzer Hara, or the bad old Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, and then he described the Yetzer Hara in an interesting way. He said the Yetzer Hara is trying to mix up your sense of values, which is really a great way of summing up the avodah of the Yetzer Hara in a succinct way. In one sentence, he tries to make you ignore or to diss spiritual things, and he makes an illusion as if physical things are essential and important and have lasting value and define who you are and what you are. He's mahapech. That's why the Gemara is lashon is olam hafach ra'isi. It's an upside down world. So that's what the Yetzer Hara in a sentence tries to do. He makes an illusory, wonderful olam hazeh, and olam habo, you know, you don't see it, you don't know it, you don't. So that's something that's a fairy tale. It's not mamish a fairy tale, but enough of, it's not really reality. And the real world, you know, people say, okay, but you're living in the real world. So what's the game plan for the real world? That's terrible. It's just a terrible expression. So now, yeah. Where does the what? Oh, that. Wait. A perfect, beautiful question, because Chavis Halvav is. So in Perek Dalid, he talks about the Yetzer Hara stopping you from having Yichud HaMaisa, which you say, okay, you know, that's. So I won't be on the highest madrega. But then in Parakei, which we're about to start, he makes clear that we're talking about the Yetzer Hara having inroads into your psyche, and he describes how and the weapons he used, and now he, like, all bets are off. Once he has a foot in the door and he holds sway over you, and you're not aware that it's the Yetzer Hara, you think it's you, because there's no devil with the tail and the horns and a pitchfork. It's you. It's you. As we'll learn now. So the Chavis Halvav, since it's all the same, and once you let him get a foot in the door, he wants more and more. So he goes from the somewhat esoteric, insidious effects of the Yetzer Hara, not letting you develop Yichud HaMaisa, and then in Parakei, he just talks about the Yetzer Hara. And this is the real Musar part of the Sefer, although it's very, very non-Musar in the sense it's very cerebral and more hashkafa than Musar, but he describes, he says, I'm going to tell you all the Yetzirah's tricks. And I'm going to tell you how, where the Yetzirah is. Is he in your seichel? Is he in your emotion? Is he part of you? Is he not part of you? Who is this Yetzirah? What is the Yetzirah? You know, what is this? So that he will talk about in Perek Hey. He's coming from Perek Dalid, which gave the Yetzirah's enticements as one of the blockages, one of the reasons we find it hard to develop Yichud HaMaisa. And again, by inverting our sense of values. That's how he said it in one sentence in the beginning of Perek Dalet. At the end of Perek Dalet, he categorizes it into two parts, as the Chavis HaLovis is wont to do. One is, he makes you wonder, Deos Kosvos. So, he, you know, in his days, he still talked about, is Hashem really out there? Which maybe we also think once in a while, nobody's looking, nobody's hearing, nobody's listening, no one knows what I'm thinking. You go, is Hashem really out there? So, and as I said, a foot in the door is all he needs. He may go away and come back in 2 weeks and ask the same question again, and now he has a somewhat firmer foothold. Chavis will, in Parakeh, elaborate on everything and tell us how to fight it, tell us how to recognize it. Does Hashem really care if I... You know, sometimes, you know, people ask questions, and the halacha is very, very detailed. Halacha gets very, very nitty-gritty, and all of a sudden you're talking about, what about if the fork touched the onion before this, and I go, so the Yetzirah is there, and so he's like, wait a second, come on, so I have an enamel sink, so what, come on, so you don't have to admit it, it's okay. That's one thing the Yetzirah does, is of a theological nature, tries to make us be besafek about things, and once we're besafek, so then it's a slippery slope. And number two is that he entices us. He says, this is not so important. Hashem really doesn't care about this. And it's more important to be a good Jew and to respect people and to... I mean, yeah, you know, this is what we hear on a daily basis many times. That's not what people all of a sudden who don't know too much about anything, all of a sudden are experts in what Hashem really wants and what Hashem really cares about. And there is things that Hashem really wants, but you get that from learning Sfarim, like Chavis HaLovis and Mesillas Yesharim. And okay, so now we start Perek Hey, which is an analysis and a discussion about the Yetzirah. That's in Perek Hey. And again, he goes far beyond the Yetzirah preventing you from developing Yichud HaMaisa, but it's the same Yetzirah, it's the same battles, it's the same approaches. Perek Hey, and this is a continuation from the end of Perek Dalet, where he gave the Yetzirah as one of the three things that block developing Yichud HaMaisa. I realize that I should be explaining to you about this subject, the Yetzirah, Dimyonim. I should speak out the illusions that the Yetzirah throws at you. Yoru, and you could always extrapolate. Chavis HaLovis almost always says to extrapolate from what he says and to think about it and to establish your own principles. If he gives certain principles of bitachon, so we're happy if we know the Chavis HaLovis' principles, but he really wants you to extrapolate and form your own and add to them. So here also he's saying, I will explain to you certain illusions that exist, but Yoru, they should be teaching you al mashalo zacharti mehem. So that ultimately, we will develop Yichud HaMaisa. If we learn the tricks, and we learn the battles, and we learn the different things that could come up in our thoughts, and he gives us a primer how to triumph over it, so we'll ultimately reach a higher level of shleimus. Now, the Chavis HaLadas here is, I would say, almost l'shitaso. What do I mean, l'shitaso? Has a very, I don't know if it's unique, he has his own approach to things. He likes when you think about things, he likes when you ask questions. He always says that's the primary value. We want you to understand what you're doing, we want you to think, we want you to ask, we want you to understand. He's taking now he's stepping into a very dangerous point. He's standing in front of a class, he's writing his sefer, and he's saying, I am going to describe to you what the Yetzer Hara will tell you. Now, if you're standing in front of a class of kids, there will definitely be a chinuch sheet that holds, don't tell these kids what is out there. Don't tell them what they might be led to do. You're going to give them ideas, and you don't know if you're going to win. You're going to tell them what the Yetzer Hara will tell them, and they're going to say, hey, I never thought of that. That's really interesting. Let me try some of that. Let me experience that. Let me experiment with that. And how do you know you're going to be able to reel them back in? So it was very, very dangerous. But the Chavis HaLadas, like almost l'shitaso, he says, I'm going to teach you about the Yetzer Hara, and it's the reason to talk about it, that's what I'm going to talk about it, and I want you to learn from that when other things, you'll be armed, right? And when other things, I'm going to teach you his tricks, and you're going to learn them, and now when things come up that I can't speak out everything that could happen in life, different nisyonos you'll have, different cheshbonos you'll have, different enticements you'll have, and you don't know it's the Yetzer Hara. That's his big thing. He's exposing the Yetzer Hara. You think it's you, and it is you, really. After the Chet of Adam Rishon, it is you. It's not your spiritual side. It's the forces in a person. This is Hashem made a world of Bechira. That's the purpose of the world, and it became exponentially harder after the Chet of Adam Rishon, which happened pretty much at the beginning of history. We didn't last too long. And now it's not you, it's you. I mean, it is you. It's maybe I shouldn't, maybe I don't have to, maybe it's better this way, and maybe this, and maybe that, and you know, it's all, you're sifting matters over in your own mind. But it is, there's a negative force. A person has a spiritual negative force. We call it the Yetzer Hara. And it's a negative force that the person wants to do things that are anti-Ratzon Hashem, but all with the purest of motives, and with the loveliest of cheshbonos, and with the most intellectual of philosophies. And she says, I want you to, I learned the Chavis HaLadas Perek Hey, and you could like match it. A thought comes into your mind, you say, oh, that's 29CAD4B. And then it says, and he's saying there's a great benefit in this, that when other things come up, you will recognize it and extrapolate, and you'll be able to fight it. But if I don't arm you, then even if I, he doesn't say these words, I'm saying it. And even if I just tell you a bunch of rules, you know, let's say, I don't know, I never taught girls, and I certainly never taught sneers. And it's, I know from my wife, it is an area in schools, in high school, post-high school, it's an area full of angst and very difficult. And it's, but this I do know, you know, if you just give them a set of, so you have to have rules, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, uniforms, not uniforms. But if you just tell them the rules, you can't possibly give every rule in the book. So you tell them a list of 30 things, what's going to happen with 31? So you have to talk about it, and you have to explain, and you have to get them to understand the value of it, and why it's important, and why it's essential and why it's good and why it's their problem, why isn't it a man's problem, and what does Sneas really mean, and all those things. And now they're equipped. Now they're equipped to go out there and live in the world. That's what Chavis HaLavis is saying. But if you don't want to talk about it because it's uncomfortable, and you might give them ideas, and they'll say, oh, I never knew you could, please forgive me, you could pierce your navel. I never knew that. Let me try that. That's a good thing to do. I don't know, you know. So the Chazonos is not afraid of that. Or maybe he is afraid of that, but I better tell him there's such a thing, and maybe we'll learn together how, why it's bad, instead of just calling it bad. And now you'll be able to extrapolate from that and learn from that what else is not a good idea to do. So, right. So that's what he's saying. It's really, it's not a chiddush, but it's not poshut that he's saying that. So that's what he's saying in his sentence. I have decided to explain to you what the Yetzer Hara does, so that you will learn from them. And as I said, he's taking a risk, because like this, maybe you didn't know, and maybe it's enough to just tell you the Tayag Mitzvahs and the Dinim and Shulchan Aruch, and that's it. And you just have to make sure you toe the line. Kadesha Yilzeru Mehem B'nei Odom, so that you will know what to watch out for. V'yil Levovim Sholem Leilukim. Moshem Rachocham, Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, Yishma Chocham v'Yosef Lekach, v'Novon Tachbulos Yikne. See, that's the key thing. When I explain it to you, I'll explain it. The direct translation is, a wise man will listen and he will able to increase the lesson learned from it, meaning he'll extrapolate to other things that weren't taught. And an intelligent person will learn the tricks. The point of Shlomo HaMelech is the point that Chavis HaLavis is making. If I teach it to you and I explain it to you, and then you're equipped. You're equipped because I can't cover life. I can't cover what life holds. I can't cover every scenario. I can't cover every nisayon. I can stand up here and talk about. Right, I can teach you Hilchos Pesach, and I can tell you 150 dinim, and I know when you walk out of here, number 151 is going to happen, and you're going to have to call me up. But if I've taught you to some degree, of course, let's say in an hour and a half class, I've taught you to some degree the idea behind it, so now you may be equipped to deal with number 151. You might not trust yourself, and you'll call up anyway. I'm not talking with Meiser, right? If you see a sign on the shul, you know, Shkia is 5:30, and Ma'ariv is 6 o'clock. So if that's all you're seeing, so then every week you're going to have to memorize when Ma'ariv is, when Shkia is, and when Ma'ariv is. But if you figure out, oh, Ma'ariv is a half hour after Shkia, right? Oh, so now you only have to know when Shkia is, and now you could yourself know when Ma'ariv will be. That's what he's saying, and he brings down a pasuk in Mishlei to that effect. I'm going to teach the Chacham so that the Chacham will increase his storehouse or her storehouse of knowledge, because they're going to know more than what I'm teaching them. Okay, now he starts. V'husha Omar, I will state as follows: Ben Adam, son of man, person. And now he a very, very, very state, very, very famous statement. Maybe you've heard it, you didn't know the Chavis HaLavis said it. Or maybe you have, but you didn't know where. Now you can say, I learned that sentence. He says, your biggest and roi l'chaladas, you should know and realize, ki hasone ha-godol she'esh l'cha ba'olam, your biggest enemy, let's say you have an enemy that wants to get you fired from your job, that wants to mess you up, that takes glee in your being embarrassed, and they're happy if you lose your job and you're very poor, and like you have someone that really, really dislikes you. You don't know, you're not sure why, but they dislike you and they take pleasure in all of your tzaras. The Yetzer is worse than that person. The Yetzer is out to get you. He says, and this is number one, you have to internalize it. When you have these impulses, negative to spirituality impulses, see, everybody, we think, people say to me, always, constantly, you know, I'm okay, Rabbi, I'm good. But like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like, my choice is between two good things, or maybe two bad things, but I have to do something. It's true to a certain degree, but it's also not true to a very large degree. And we don't see things objectively. We see things a certain way because we're nogeya b'davar. That's the single factor in Yetzirah. In feeding the Yetzirah is our negius. So we are result oriented. We want the din to be a certain way. We want to live a certain lifestyle because it's shochad. We're nogeya b'davar. But so Yetzirah is your enemy, and whenever you have thoughts that you will recognize after I teach them to you, they are not innocuous, and they're not innocuous. It's not like someone comes, well, you know, what time is it? He's trying to get you into a conversation. This is the Nochash. The Nochash says, you're not allowed to eat from any of the trees. So he, you know. No, that's what Chava said. I'm talking about the Nochash. The Nochash started off the conversation saying, oh, it's too bad you can't eat any fruit here. So Chava says, oh, I can eat all the fruit. There's one tree I can't eat from, two. So he had already in the conversation. So he's going to teach us telltale signs that we can recognize thoughts as Yetzirah thoughts. That's what he's going to do in the whole parak. Teach us to recognize, to be alert, to be on the alert, to be alert, to recognize, and you hear it and it'll start bells ringing in your ear. Some are subtle, some are blatant, but he's giving us the tools to recognize that it's the Yetzirah so that we can withstand it. So, but number one, we should take this seriously, there's an enemy lurking out there. Like someone wants to kill you, someone stalking you. Yetzirah stalking every one of us, every day of our lives. A little depressing, but it is not depressing when you think and you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tools to battle the Yetzirah, to fight the Yetzirah, to win over the Yetzirah. He gave us the tools to do so. It's just a question of learning how to shoot, of learning how to use those tools. But he gave us the tools. He didn't mess us up. He wouldn't mess us up. He's a meitiv. I learned Shar HaBechina. I learned Shar HaBitachon. Hashem is a meitiv. He's not going to mess me up. So he wants to put me in a situation where I have to have choice, so as I should get schar. So he's an enemy. He's a stalker. Hasoni Hagod. And if you could imagine the biggest enemy you could have, a molech. Germans, Yetzirah's worse. He's worse. He wants you to go off and never be heard from again. Yitzchak HaNimsach, very, very interesting lashon. Who is covered, who has made inroads, who lives from B'chochos Nafshecha.
The word used here is interwoven.
What?
It says here interwoven.
Okay, yeah, masechta really means mosach shar hachotzer is a curtain that's interwoven. He's nimsach b'kochos nafshecha. This is what you really said. You won't recognize him as the Yetzirah. He's interwoven with all of your... He's a manipulator. It sounds very bad. He is. He's a manipulator, and he takes advantage. So if a person is a little depressed, so, you know, you could react to, you're a little sad. You say, well, what's going to be with me? I don't know what's going to be. So the Yetzirah jumps in and says, give up and be sad. And don't try to get hold of yourself, and don't try to improve, and don't try to analyze what you're doing wrong so that you should start doing things right. He takes advantage of moods. Cholchos Nafshecha, we learned at the end of Shaar Avodas Elokim, the last parak, he goes through a whole list of Cholchos HaNefesh. A person is a bundle of contradictions, but it's wonderful. And we learned in Shaar HaBechina, now we're starting to learn, a person is an amazing creation. Amazing, more amazing than the most amazing robot. He could be sad, he could be happy, he could be courageous, he could be... scared, he could be lazy, he could be labadic, he could be creative, he could be passive, he could be active, laugh, cry, a person. And it says in Shaar Avodas Elokim, you got to sit there and take whichever arrow out of your quiver that it's time for. Hashem gave everybody different degrees and different emphases, but everybody has tremendous kochos hanefesh. It's a whole world. That's what we're learning in Shaar HaBechina now. An olam is a person is an olam katan. A whole world, the koichas, the energies, the abilities, the creative thinking, the brain power. He's interwoven in your moods. So realize when you're sad, when you're moody, it's dangerous. Even though Hashem wants us to be moody, He wants us to be happy on Yom Tov, and He wants us to be sad on Tisha B'Av. He wants us to be sad if someone is an Avel, Chas V'Shalom. We have bad news, He wants us to be sad. You know. But you have to always be in control. This is something we learned in Chavis HaLvavos and Shaar Avodas Elokim, and it's something he's implying now because he says the Yetzer is interwoven in all of our Kochas HaNefesh. Right? If someone is courageous, you say, that's wonderful. Well, maybe it's not so wonderful if the Yetzirah is telling your teenager, what do you care what your parents say? What do you care what people are going to say? Come on, go do it. You want to do it, do it. So he's being very courageous, but not the courageous we want to encourage. Right? Yeah.
When a person is ill, is the
Yetzirah weakened? If a person's physically ill?
He's
not weakened. He might have... The playing field has been narrowed. There's a famous story from the Arizal. I hope I have it right. That when he was on his deathbed, he told his Talmidim, don't think I'm free from the Yetzer Hara now. The Yetzer is telling me that when I scream Shema Yisrael as I die, I should like really do it good so that when they give a hesped, they'll say, oh, you should have heard him scream Shema Yisrael, unbelievable. That's what he told his Talmidim. I'm fighting with the Yetzer now how to say Shema Yisrael. As he died, he said this. I don't know if it's a true story or if it's an apocryphal story, but it answers your question. All that being sick does is it just minimizes the playing field, but the Yetzer is not weaker. He just has less room to play. Yeah.
So you think that the Yetzer causes a person to be moody?
No. He takes advantage of the mood. Mm-hmm. You always have that. That's why, in this never-ending struggle between our intellect and our emotion, I mean, if we gain one thing out of learning Chavis HaLvavos, we know which side he's going to come out on. Hashem wants us to be moody, so to speak. He doesn't want us to be moody. He wants us to be emotional. He doesn't want us to be robotic. He wants us to be emotional. He wants us to love Hashem. He wants us to be happy on a Yom Tov. He wants us to cry at the right time. But that's what he says. Nimsach means he's interwoven in our moods. So you say if he's interwoven in our mood, it means if you see it, you have to be on the alert. Because the Yetzer Hara could make you depressed. And therefore, I'm not going to daven today. What the heck? Right? You have to be on the alert. So you say, what's the solution? The solution is that the intellect, you always have to be in control. And I've said this many times. That's why I said I have a sister who suffered a tremendous tragedy, but she found out about it on Pesach, on the Motzoi Chag Rishon. So she had to go have Yom Tov for an entire week. Knowing the tragedy, her oldest child was killed in a car accident, a married person with a husband. And I'm not saying she was perfect and fantastic, that she was Mekayim Simchas Yom Tov. You know, who could say that? Who knows? But I'm giving you an extreme example of being in control. The Torah demands it, and the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch demands it, and it demands that you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos, and you know, except in certain circumstances. And a person, there's no question, a Jew has to be in control. But the Torah wants a Jew to be emotional also, and to be happy and to be sad. And it's just, as you say, it's tough. So first of all, be fortified with the knowledge that if it was impossible, Hashem would not demand it. And who empowered a person to do anything? Who empowers me to breathe and to swallow and to talk and to gesture with my fingers? It's all Hashem. So it's not just, Hashem's not just on the sidelines, you know, a cheerleader. Come on, you can do it. Hashem empowered us to do it. He gave us the power to do it. So, so sentence one of the Chavis Halvavis is, phrase one is, think of Hitler, think of the biggest enemy you have. Think of a sworn enemy that you have. The Yetzer Hara is a bigger enemy than that person. He's not going to rest. He wants you down for the count. He wants to get you. So you always have this enemy aiming for you. Chavis Halvavis will say in a few lines, which we won't get to today, and Memela we won't get to till after Pesach, this is the greatest marshal in the world. He says, Yetzer Hara represents nothing. He's empty. He's running on empty. So it's a parasite trying to feed off of your kochos, because there's no value. He's choshech, he's ra. The Maral would call him heder, hey ayin dalid resh. He's nothing. There's nothing there. There's no value. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all fake. It's phony. So it's really easy to overpower. He'll keep coming back, and he compares it to a fly. You chase away a fly. 1 second later, the fly comes back. But he's very easy to chase away. You just have to go like that, and he runs away. If you have the tools that he will teach us in Parakeh, and it has to be that way, because Hashem doesn't want to mess us up. Hashem wants us to overpower the Yetzer Hara, and thereby be Zocher, etc., etc., etc. So he obviously empowered us to do so. And he will explain that the Yetzer Hara is empty. It's like an empty shell makes the most noise. He makes a lot of noise. And before you eat that chocolate, or before you say that piece of Lashon Hara, it's like so enticing and so important. I just got to tell you this one thing. I won't say another word of Lashon Hara my whole life. But I have to tell you. Right? And then it's nothing. So you don't say it. Then what's going to be? You don't say it. You know what it's like? I'll compare it. I can't forget when it was an oval for the first time for my mother, Leah Shalom. You know, so I didn't go to chasanas for a year, all about mitzvahs. And all, you know what I realized? Hey, you don't have to go. The world goes on, no one misses you. And if they do miss you, it's okay, they got married anyway. And it's fine, it's nothing. And you think, now sometimes you are in a situation where you, obviously, please don't. Sometimes, like, how can I miss this wedding? I mean, it's my daughter. How can I miss the wedding? And if you miss it, my grandparents missed my father's wedding, and right, because they were living in Eretz Yisrael. And you didn't go to America for a wedding. Like, you don't go to America for anything. Right? We're talking in 1950. Now, 1946, 1947. You know, so they wanted his wedding. Guess what? He got married anyway. And he had children anyway. And they wanted his wedding. That's the Yetzer Hara. Please don't misunderstand. It's illusion. It's a lot of illusion, and that's why he will say, I'm jumping ahead, you can always overpower him, because he represents nothing. He's choshech. He's empty. There's no value there. You just have to keep your wits about you and keep your eye on the eight ball, as they say, and realize that it's the Yetzer Hara. And once you realize it's the Yetzer Hara, because the Chavis Halvavis Perek is a very long perek. Ding, light bulb goes off, and then you'll see it's nothing. It's empty. It's mirrors. It's smoke. Number one, he's your enemy. Don't think that it's good for you to do this. If you know it's an Avera, then don't think it's worth it. Oh, just this once I'll do it, and it's so kedai, because so much good will come out of it. Just this little one, Hashem really doesn't care. I just have to. And he's your enemy. He's your enemy. He's not your friend. Chafetz Chaim uses the same marshal. You know, you think he's your best friend, and he's telling you where to get the best bargains. And imagine someone telling you where to get the best bargains, and he's your enemy, and he wants you to waste your money and buy a refrigerator that really doesn't work well, and then you can't get your money back, and he wants to trip you up. You gotta be convinced of that. And so when you say the word Yetzer Hara, so you say, yeah, of course I know he's my enemy. But when you learn what the Yetzer Hara says to you, and you recognize the telltale signs of a negative spiritual force, of negativity, then so realize it's your enemy. It's your enemy. That was lesson one. I mean, every word here is a treasure. Hanimsach b'kochos nafshecha. He's interwoven. Be careful. You always have to be in control. You're courageous. He's going to try to use that courage to do something bad, and you should be courageous. You're sad. He's going to try to tell you what's it all worth. He's trying to make you depressed. You're happy. That's good. We know that being happy is a good condition. It's a spiritually positive condition, but you still have to watch out for the Yetzer Hara, who will try to make you into a balgaiva, and will try to make you think that the world is your oyster, as the saying goes, and you can do no wrong, and you're on top of the world, and you know you could, you're in control of everything, and you can get away. You see a phenomena by Goyesha. You probably read news as much as I do. I hope less. You see a phenomena. You see it. There's no really heroes left in the world, because the newspapers and media, we hate everybody. We see everybody's weakness. But sports figures are still like kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And the last few years, these sports figures, you see their degenerates, disgusting people. That there's an akuda here. It's a musar dik and akuda. They think they can get away with it. They're so. I call it. They believe their own press clippings. They're so full of themselves that they do the most outlandish, terrible, horrible things, and they think they'll get away with it. They're so like empowered. They're so powerful. Right, they're so powerful, they're getting like $10 billion to hit a little ball into a cup. And they're getting millions of dollars, and people want to know what kind of sneakers they wear. You know, and like, so they think they can get away with anything. And then they, and politicians are the same. Disgusting, disgusting. You don't need me to tell you what I'm talking about. And it's because they're so full of themselves. So that you think you can get away with it. So that's what the Yetzer Hara can do if you're too happy. And that's what I'm saying. If you're too on top of the world. So this is very depressing. We'll learn. It just means that you always have to be in control, and you have to recognize red lines. And you should be happy. Hashem wants us to be happy. Hashem does not want us to be sad. He wants us to be happy. But then you should learn to recognize the telltale signs of gaiva. When you're happy, you can get drunk with power, and you could be so in such a good mood that you start doing things that you wouldn't ever have considered. So you have to recognize that, and you have to be able to put on the brakes and to calm down. You have to pick something that will always remind you. That's what the Mefarshim and Pirkei Avos say. May Ayin Basa will save you from Gaiva, Lona Taholech will save you from Taiva. You know, and you know, when you get too full of yourself, you have to pull out the Yerushalayim card. So But the Yetzer Hara is interwoven with whatever kochus you have. He's building it up now. The solution is guaranteed, meaning if you use it, there's a guaranteed solution. Hashem created a world in which we can control. No matter what he says about the Yetzer Hara, we should walk out of here with our heads held up high, that we know we could lick it. It doesn't matter how bad he's going to paint the picture, but we know we could lick it, and he's going to tell us the tools to lick it. And there's no such thing that, it's not fair. Like, what am I supposed to do? That's the Yetzer Hara talking. Because he wants you to give up before you even start to fight him. He wants you to not learn Perikei and Chavos HaShari Yichud HaMaizah. Because then you're going to recognize it, because then the light bulb will go on in your head. So as much as Chavos HaVodah is going to say, and every phrase here is almost like depressing, because it's so, because he says it, there's no devil, it's you, it's your courageousness. He tries to manipulate your kochos hanefesh. He's interwoven in them, and he's a manipulator. V'hamu'ura b'mezeg ruchacha, he's mixed into your moods. V'hamishtatev imcha, v'hanhogas chushecha hagufniyim v'ruchniyim. It's you, he's your shutuf. Hashem saddled you with a shutuf. He is there in your, with your physical senses. When you see something, he is also seeing it. And he tells you, oh, and now look at that also. And now look at that. He's there in your power of sight. In your power, I'm talking about now, chushecha hagufniyim, your physical senses. He's there, so he tries to push you. He said, well, you could read. So now read this. Look at this. Listen to this. Try this out. The Haruchnian, and in spiritual matters also, obviously, he's there with you, and he wants to, you know, put you in a different direction, in the wrong direction. Hamoshel besodos nafshecha. This is, he knows all your secrets. You think nobody knows your secrets. Maybe your husbands know your secrets, maybe. And maybe you sort of intellectually know that Hashem knows all your secrets. Because the Yetzer Hara knows all your secrets. So he knows your weaknesses. And he knows what makes you tick. And he manipulates you. But I'll repeat, again, it's okay. We could fight him. Guaranteed. We could beat him, not just fight him. We could fight him and beat him. And that's our Tiferes, that's what's great about the world, that we do it and we've earned our Olam Haba, and that's what Hashem wants, that we should earn it. That's it's one of Dennis Prager's things that make you happy, when you earn something and it's not given to you. So that's a very Jewish concept. Antoi Nahama de Kisufa, that's the bread of embarrassment, when someone gives you something. So you earn it. So Hashem wants us to earn Olam Haba. He's such a meitiv. He is so good that he doesn't want to give us nitzchius, Olam Haba, eternal life, being bonded with Hashem. He doesn't want to give it to us as a freebie. He's such a good uncle that he doesn't want to give us $10. He wants us to mow the lawn and earn the $10, because he knows that's so much better and will make you so much happier. And it's true. If you don't mow the lawn, you're not going to get the $10 now. And the other way, you would have had the $10. But that $10 would not have done you any good. It wouldn't have changed you. It wouldn't have really made you happy. You'll have $10 that you were given as a present, and you'll go out and you'll blow it on the first thing you see in the store. And we all know this is true. But when I mowed the lawn for the $10, and then I pass by the store and I see something pretty, I don't run in and buy it so fast. I go, whoa, I just mowed a lawn for an hour and a half. I'm not spending these $10 till I think about, I don't know, $10 by now is probably $35. And I'm like living in my, in the past. That's Hashem with Olam Haba. You know, it's not cheap. He wants us to earn it. And the bliss and the pleasure of Olam Haba, it's not measurable. It's the difference between someone giving me a present and my earning it with my own work and toil. And it's so much more satisfying and so much more pleasurable. And the whole world was constructed with this cheshbon in mind, that we should earn it. So as we learn about the Yetzer Hara, and it seems like, whoa, oh man, like, but what did he do that to us for? He did it to us because we're guaranteed to be able to overcome it. Nobody ever said it was easy. You have to keep your wits about you, and you have to be alert. So you know, I don't want to be alert. I want to go through life like spaced out and in a daze. And yeah, okay, that's very nice. It's like saying I want to be on drugs my whole life. I don't want to have to deal with life. I want to be on drugs. I'll always be happy. Right? You see these guys stoned? They're smiling away. They're happy. A car hits them. They don't care. They're smiling. They don't care. So but we look at them and we go, you know, you shicker. What's the matter? You know, what are you happy about? Nothing. Zero. There's nothing there. One day you're going to wake up and realize you're nothing. You're on empty. Zero. So that's how good Hashem is, that He set us up, that we have to work and we have to struggle. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll next learn. Can we learn this the Wednesday after Pesach ends? Or you'll still be putting away the dishes? I don't know. I recommend highly the book Battle Plans.